Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening, you know what that means. That means you're a highly intelligent individual. Because, as you know, we only have really smart people who are guests on my show. And so if you've been listening to my guests, you get smarter all the time. I mean, I figure your IQ could go up at least 10 points a day if you just by listening to the Small Business Advocate show. At least that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Ted Fishman is one of those really smart guys. He's the author of China, Inc. He's the guy who you've been hearing a lot of buzz about this guy, especially if you've been listening to my show, because he's written a very important book about those 1.2 billion folks who live over in that big country. And I've asked Ted to join us again to talk to us some more about this, because I really think this is a very important topic for us to, for all of the inhabitants of the world, not just Americans and not just as small business owners, but as inhabitants of this earth. We need to know more about China. And he's our good friend, Ted Fishman. Welcome back to the show.
So glad to be with you. I love being on your show because you're also a smart host and your listeners are smart.
Yeah, we got some smart listeners, don't we? I know you agree with me. I appreciate that, Ted. Thank you for coming back on the show. I think this is maybe your fourth or fifth time. We helped launch your book back in the early part of the year, and I just continue to get more and more out of it. And more the news that I hear and that comes out is a lot more understandable to me, Ted, now that I've read your book. And I just want to thank you for helping me sort through all this, because if there's one thing we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, there are a lot of things that I can't promise you, but folks, I can promise you this: China is not going away. It's going to be more and more evidence in our future, isn't it, Ted?
Yeah, think about how the rest of the world would have been looking at the United States since the beginning of the 20th century, and some countries wishing it away. And really what has happened is that you can't wake up anywhere in the world without the United States in your face as a economic or cultural or military force. And this is how Americans ought to get used to seeing China, that we may not be getting weaker in some significant way, but the Chinese are certainly getting stronger, and they will be a force in front of us for our lifetimes and for lifetimes beyond.
You know, Ted, I remember when I was much younger, when we thought about the Chinese hordes coming over the border. You know, we imagined the scenario. I used to be an infantry officer in the Army, in the U.S. Army, and part of the scenarios that we would run would be what if we were fighting the Chinese, and we talked about how that many they could just literally overrun us, and that kind of thing, and then it changed more recently to where we think about still being overrun, but being overrun by 1.2 billion competitors, not 1.2 billion soldiers. But what I would prefer, and what I'm trying to do, and I know you are too, Ted, is to, I'd like to see us think of the Chinese more as 1.2 billion customers.
Well, here's how we play into that scenario in a way that could be helpful to us if we play our game the best way we can. You know, the rest of the world thinks of China as its growing competition, and often as its most fierce competition. But behind that is a competitive environment in China in which the Chinese see themselves as their most fierce competitors. So that whenever a business springs up that can make even a little bit of money, copycat companies spring up all over the place to enter that industry. And the effect for us on the rest of the world.
They not only steal our own stuff, which is one of the problems we have, folks, is they steal our own intellectual property a lot of times. They're doing it to themselves.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
And in any niche, you know, there are hundreds or thousands of factories. And, you know, there are 300 companies making DVD players. There are 30,000 companies making Christmas ornaments. You know, all industries that didn't exist in China half a generation ago. And the effect on us is that it drives down the price of goods at a very accelerated pace, so that our big box stores can go to their Chinese suppliers and say, hey, we don't want you just to keep your prices stable this year. You've got to cut them 10 or 12 or 15% this year for my American customers.
Right.
And that delivers a huge benefit to us.
Well, that's one of the things that that a lot of people don't talk about when they rail against outsourcing, globalization. They don't talk about increase in standard of living. Ted, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. 20 till. Ted Fishman is our guest. He's the author of the outstanding book, the very important book, China Inc. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Blastingame, Small Business Advocate. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter. The email newsletter comes every week on Sunday. Get you ready for the week ahead. Or if you just can't wait till Sunday, I can see how you just can't wait to get more out of me. You can't wait to hear my voice or to read what I've written. I can see that. And so we have the blog now, and it'll send you something every day. If you subscribe to the blog, which you can do, we even can help you get the technology right there on our website at smallbusinessadvocate.com. If you subscribe to the blog, you can get a publication from me that will include an article and the four most recent interviews that I've done. For example, later today you would receive something from us that would be a whole new article and all four of the interviews that I've done today. So check that out when you get a chance. It's a lot of fun, and I think it'll benefit you, and we're getting a lot of good response from that. Ted Fishman is our guest. He's the author of China Inc. Ted, you've recently been back to China. Now, I'm curious to know, after you went over to China to do the research for the book, you came back, you finished the book, now you've gone back. What was different? How did you see it? I know the country wasn't different, but through your eyes, how did you see the country in this second trip?
Well, it's interesting. I went to Shanghai to begin with, and Shanghai is one of the most dynamic cities in the world, maybe the most dynamic city in the world right now. And even walking the streets that I walked a year ago, I found them utterly different. You know, buildings that were familiar, that were my targets on my walks, were missing. And in their place were holes, you know, the size of city blocks, where there are going to be 80-story buildings in their place all over the
wow.
city.
Wow.
And the booming construction business there is unabated
I heard the state bird over there is the crane.
Pardon me?
I heard the state bird over there is the crane.
Yeah, the state bird is the crane, right. It's certainly not endangered. You see them everywhere. You know, traveling out of Shanghai, you know, going to the city of Suzhou, I counted 360 cranes,
wow.
which is just... astonishing. You know, we have a building boom here in the United States, and often when I go to cities like Charlotte, or I just came back from Honolulu where I was giving a talk, and people say, you know, the real estate market here is nuts, and, you know, our city has grown 20% in the last 10 years or whatever, and I think, wow, you guys should go to China where there's a new city of 1 million people every single month, or a new urban agglomeration every month, or Shanghai has added 3 million people to its population last year. Yeah. Well, in 2003, their census went up by 3 million people.
Wow.
So, you know, whatever building boom you think is astonishing, it's more astonishing there.
Ted, where are these people coming from? Are they coming from the country?
Yes, they're coming from the country.
They're moving to the coast, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Sometimes the country is not that far from the city, but sometimes it's very far. So when you go to one of China's really accelerated cities, like Beijing or Shanghai, you have people from all over the place within the country. And in a generation, 300 million people will pick themselves off the farm and move themselves to a city.
Is what's happening in China what happened in America 100 years ago?
Yes, it's happening in a much more rapid pace. Of course, America also attracted people from the farms of the entire world. You know, China doesn't need to turn to the rest of the world to get hundreds of millions of people to its cities. They can come from China.
Which ought to make them more efficient than it was for us.
Yeah, I don't know whether it makes it more efficient.
Well, they don't have to learn a new culture. They don't have to be assimilated. They're already, you know, they speak the language. I know there are different dialects, but basically, you know, they're all the same people.
That's true. It has another interesting benefit, which is that these people who come to the city send money home to the country. So what it does is it spreads economic development throughout the country in a way that our economic development might not have spread it throughout the world.
Right. You recently also testified before Congress. And
yep.
I'd like to know what you said to them, what they said to you, and if you felt like the questions that they asked you led you to believe that our members of Congress have a clue with regard to establishing public policy so that America can be competitive. Tell us about that.
You know, I don't think that we have a solid China policy coming out of Congress right now. There are too many divided constituencies, Jim. There are congressmen who represent financial services. There are congressmen who represent manufacturing. There are congressmen who represent agricultural sector. And when you get this mishmash of interests crisscrossing against one another, it's very hard to have a full steam ahead China policy because everybody's poaching one another's interests. And it doesn't mean that the questions aren't good. Everybody has questions that are relevant to their constituents.
But what you're saying is, and to quote that great swamp philosopher Pogo the Possum, we have seen the enemy, and he is us, not the Chinese.
Yeah, what the Chinese do really well is they move full steam ahead. They're very steady at the helm on their policy of economic development and industrialization, scientific advancement.
You know why they can do that, don't you? Because they don't have. One lawyer per, you know, eight people per capita. They don't have one lobbyist per eight people per capita, like we do here in the United States. I think that might have a lot to do with it.
Yeah, that has one thing to do with it, certainly. You know, they may get there, but they also have a leadership.
Oh, yeah, no, they'll have those guys. They'll have the lawyers and the lobbyists. It'll just take time, and then there'll be someplace else that will emerge as the real competitive part of the world. Stand by, Ted. We're going to take a quick break. We've got more to come with our good friend Ted Fishman. He's the author of China, Inc. And if I haven't already, ladies and gentlemen, I recommend it. Jim Blasting, small business advocate. I'm glad Ted Fishman's here, too, because he's our good friend and the author of the outstanding book, China, Inc. And, Ted, give us your website, please.
It's www.chinainc-book.com.
Chinainc-book.com. And they can find that, I know, wherever books are sold, in their local small business bookstore and the big ones and also online, right, Ted?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It could be easy to find.
Ted, what did you tell, when you testified before Congress, what did you tell them?
I had two big messages to tell, and both of them relate to technology and the future of the United States as a knowledge economy, because we've made this bargain with the world that we will jettison low-cost manufacturing if we can move up as a knowledge provider. But in order to do that, we have to get paid for our knowledge, and in China, we don't. It's something you and I have talked about before. My thinking is honed a little bit on it now. One is relates to where the United States stands as a technology creator. And I think back to how the Reagan administration competed against our Cold War enemies, which is developing fearsome technology that couldn't be matched anywhere in the world.
Right.
If that's good for a defense strategy, it's even better for an economic strategy.
So
if you're an engineer...
But what does that look like, Ted?
What it looks like is investing in the basic scientific infrastructure of our country, which seeds innovation. Not picking particular technologies and saying go with that in a centrally planned way, but making sure that our engineering schools are places where American students want to go because what comes out of those schools excites them. Right now, if you're a sophomore in an engineering program, and all the companies you've wanted to work for your whole life now are shipping their jobs over to engineers that work for a sixth or a tenth of the wage in China or India, then you're probably not going to finish school as an engineer. It's too scary. But if you could finish school and go into a premier American technology that we're creating, the way people thought of the future of American technology when Silicon Valley was booming or following Sputnik, then you will have people sticking to those programs because they'll be part of creating the world's best, most competitive technologies. And then, of course, there's the issue which I know you're very familiar with, which is protecting the intellectual property that is created in our country, and we really need a very new approach to that. And the approach that I've been advocating is different from what most congressmen want. Most congressmen want some sort of legal sanction against the stealing, and we have all the legal apparatus on the books, and it's just not working. What we need is an economic plan that gives American companies incentives not to go to Chinese factories that can make their stuff by using pirated software, pirated machines, pirated processes, but actually use things that they pay American manufacturers of technology to buy, fill their factories with, and then turn out goods that come back to the United States.
Do you think we're still in denial about the Chinese and other competitors, foreign competitors, and the reality of that, and that we're still trying to protect industries and players, even perhaps, companies perhaps, that basically are not going to make it to the finish line in the 21st century, but we're just postponing the inevitable?
I would say that if we had a stronger trade union movement, we might see a lot of that kind of denial. But the trade union movement in the United States simply isn't a strong enough.
It's a dinosaur itself.
What? Yeah, exactly. And it really doesn't have a voice in this debate anymore. You hear sounds coming from there, but they don't move anybody. The most threatened group really are small manufacturers who are struggling here to do business the way that they've always done it. And they're competing against American companies who are finding their own China solutions.
Mm-hmm.
So you see what's happening in the United States is we're seeing a kind of export of China's wealth gap, which is those companies in China that get globalization are succeeding, and those people in China who don't get it are being left behind. Well, in the United States, those companies who see how to use China as part of their competitive strategy are succeeding, and those that don't are getting left behind.
Right. So that's a very interesting point there that you mentioned about that a lot of the challenges that we have here about China, they're having about themselves. And you've said a lot of really important things to us, Ted, and today as well. But I'm going to write that down. That's a pretty important one. Ted, give us the website again, please.
www.chinainc.com.
Hey, Ted,
and I have an email address on there, and I certainly would love to hear from your listeners.
Thank you, Ted. Will you come back another day?
Absolutely, always.
Thank you, Ted. Good job today.
Thanks
for all your hard work. Ted Fishman, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm broadcasting from the Administaff Small Business Classic near Houston, Texas. I'll be right back after these messages. Whatever you do, don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.